Go on. Lie down. Lay dead.
Weather outside is frightful, but in here, it's quite be-lightful.
Okay, really? Be-lightful?
Welcome to B-Movie Deathmatch. Is this your first episode? Are you listening to your very first episode of B-Movie Deathmatch? Do you not know what it is? It's a show where people try to predict what's going to happen in bad movies based off a trailer. And there's some points, there's some laughs. Sometimes I get really bummed out and we have an in-depth discussion about how the world is falling apart. You weren't here for last week, it got bad.
Was last week me, Dave?
No, but we watched Green Room. We decided.
Oh, really?
We decided a really good movie, and I also forced that podcast to be super long. That one is an hour and a half, almost 2 hours.
Oh my god.
It's mostly me talking about how I want to die.
Okay.
This podcast features me, whatever, I don't have a name. I am the ghost of Christmas past. Also here is the ghost of Christmas future, Christopher Morgan, or as I call him, Crispy Bacon.
Every single time. It gets better every single time.
That's because
it's going to catch on one day.
When I wake up in the morning and I smell bacon in my house, I know that Chris is
Somewhere around.
Lurking.
Just waiting to grab the bacon fresh off the stove.
It's like the gremlin that's hiding behind the nurse's station in Gremlins 1. Just waiting to pop out at me.
We all know that part.
Everyone knows Gremlins. Who else is here today? We have some of our favorite guests, as opposed to our least favorite guests.
The ones that we're not going to talk about?
MC.
Oh, yes.
I don't like MC. I'm joking. She's in our very next episode. We're doing a twofer. I love MC.
The running joke that MC's our worst guest.
I love MC with all my heart.
Not.
Who else is here? Who are these hulking men?
I'll go first. I'm Arlen. This is my
18th
appearance, I think. That's about accurate. I'm the one who picked out White Man's Burden for today.
Wait, that was supposed to be a surprise.
Oh, wait, hold on. I didn't say anything. Bleep it out.
You didn't pick it out.
Wait, pick me out.
It gifted itself onto you.
So let's hold off on discussing this.
We'll bleep that out.
And let's talk about this gigantic 7-foot-tall muscle wrestle man next to me here.
My name is Ross. This is my 3rd or 4th, maybe 5th time. I decided to take time out of my day to bless you guys with my presence, and
it feels like the first time every time.
Yeah.
Okay, so in case you didn't hear what we said earlier, I don't know if we've discussed this on the podcast before.
Have we?
I don't know.
But I feel like we must have because we've talked about this so much outside the podcast.
Around episode 2, we found out there's this movie called White Man's Burden, which has the most ill-conceived plotline of all time. And we've wanted it, and Aron said he had a surprise for tonight's episode, and we thought he was going to bring out a copy of Castle Freak. I swore that's what it was
called. I mean, if I found it, I would have.
He showed us a trailer for it, just because he thought he was betting on you bringing that.
Before you got here, I'm getting the prediction spirit.
Oh, really?
Like, Aron's going to show us Castle Freak, and sure enough, you have White Man's Burden, which we've watched the trailer for this 80 times. Ross, would you like to read the back of the box so our audience can know just how bad of an idea this was?
I don't know if I want to be on record saying anything.
That's the problem with this one is there's a lot of things we're going to say that there's just no other way of saying
it. I'm looking at my prediction. Yeah, as long as maybe we should set up the disclaimer first that we have no hate in our hearts, but we're going to kind of poke fun at people who...
Hey, Tommy. Haven't you said the last 4 episodes you don't want to go into race?
You know, race is an interesting topic of discussion as a criminal justice major, and it's something I care very deeply about because racial inequality is one of the greatest plagues in our society. But can we, as 4 Caucasian straight males, discuss this? Sure, it'll be a fun time.
Ross isn't Caucasian.
I'm half Mexican.
I did not know that.
Oh.
Well, now I'm a hateful bigot.
I'm very, very offended.
I'm a piece of
shit. Let's get down and dirty and discuss race.
Well, we've already gone this far.
Let's see if Tommy will learn his lesson.
All right, so the back of this DVD case, which is cardboard, from the producer of Pulp Fiction comes a movie that will shatter the way you see the world. set in a time where color roles have been reversed, where prejudice keeps the white man in his place. This is a different America. This is the world of White Man's Burden, and that's very bold red. John Travolta stars as Louis Pinnock, a poor man of the ghetto struggling to support his wife, who is Kelly Lynch, and their children. But when he loses his factory job at the whim of its owner, Harry Belafonte, Pinnock snaps under the pressure and decides to fight back the only way he knows how. With nothing left to lose, Pinnock decides to take on the system by taking on the factory owner. But the fight he will have to finish may cost him more than his job was ever worth. White Man's Burden will change the way you see the world forever.
I think that's definitely true.
Oh my god.
Oh. The trailer for this movie features a jive-talking John Travolta drinking malt liquor and ogling black women.
Just the sentence that said that John Travolta is a man from the ghetto. Yeah. A man of the ghetto.
Poor man of the ghetto.
Oh. This movie's gonna be beautiful.
But John Travolta kind of does sound like he's jive-ish whenever he's actually talking.
He does kind of sound black.
Well, no, in Pulp Fiction, he does kind of have this, like, he's kind of doing like a Will Smith impression.
Sure.
And now he's doing that same voice, but it's in a very different and wrong context.
Yeah, he could change his voice.
Because in Pulp Fiction, it's like, oh, he's a cool hitman who kind of talks like a black guy. Okay. And now you have White Man's Burden, which is, oh, it's an alternate universe where the white man is oppressed.
Yeah.
It bothers me because someone wanted to tell a compelling story about a black man fighting the system, but then somewhere along the way they're like, yeah, but what if it was about a white guy fighting the system and, like, taking black people hostage?
I really believe this is the movie that they intended to make, and that it was like, we need to show white people how hard it is by making them black. Which, on one hand, you know,
good intentions.
Maybe Watermelon Man did a better job at that. I don't know. I've never seen Watermelon Man. Watermelon Man has a better... it has a better plot, but a worse title. Do you know what Watermelon Man is?
No.
Oh, yes. Never heard of it. I know what it is.
It's of the same vein as this movie. It's a movie about a man who wakes up one morning black, and he's been white his entire life and has to deal with how being black is harder, which is a very good plot. Now, why is it titled that? It's up to you, dear viewer.
That's it's racist. What's that, movie about the Nazis on the moon, Iron Sky or something?
Of course.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the first black astronauts in that movie, supposedly. He's the first black astronaut to go to the moon.
Did you almost call him a blastronaut?
Did you call him a blastronaut just now? Anyway.
Well, we knew we were going to get in trouble.
If you've seen that movie, the Nazis capture him and then bleach his skin white. He's also jive-talking the whole time, bleach his skin white, and then send him back down as an agent of the Nazis because they've tried to brainwash him. They failed, but the whole time, he's in whiteface the whole movie. And it is an insane movie.
What's the name of the dude? I can't remember what comedian it was, but he did whiteface. And Twitter, like, freaked the fuck out at him. It was pretty much like
Dave Chappelle.
I don't know if it was
Nick. I mean, he did.
He did, but it was well before Twitter.
I think it was Nick Cannon. And he did whiteface and talked
to him. Nick Cannon's hilarious.
Is Nick Cannon black?
To truly break down barriers, I've reached a point where I can confuse anyone with anyone. Is Sam Neill black? I don't know.
They're the same person, right?
Sam Neill and Nick Cannon?
Have you ever seen them in the same room at the same time?
That's a good point.
See, I was about to do an impression of Nick Cannon in Jurassic Park, but I realized that's an ill-conceived and bad idea. Yeah. And so I decided I'm not going to do that.
He's already in the movie. Remember? Hold on to your butts. It's making a check fat black people all looking the same.
Damn it, Chris. That's not funny. That's ill-conceived. And much like director Lawrence Bender... Why do I reckon... He produced Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
This is a Desmond Nakano film. Much like Desmond Nakano, you should have realized you were making a mistake and stepped the fuck back.
It could be a really good movie.
Well, the costume designer... Can you please read the name of the costume designer, please?
Okay, let me find it.
It's second row.
Second row. Isis Musenden.
Breaking down barriers.
Yeah, Isis created.
I'd also like to point out, this is the first movie we physically had on hand.
Yeah, everything else has been...
streaming services, yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't find this if one in streaming
No, we found a shitty YouTube version of this. We've watched a few of our movies on YouTube, which have been shitty.
This is by HBO.
Yeah, but it's not an HBO
film. And it is... I feel like they've probably disowned this movie.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, no. I don't blame them.
I mean, they did every episode of Real Sex, and this is what you want to disown. This is not good. What if this is, like, a really compelling, like, enjoyable movie?
It could
movie?
Be. This could be, like, the best work of art that dealt with race relations since, like, To Kill a Mockingbird or something.
I'm just gonna...
We could... It could be.
So, Aron, I wanted to tell you this, because I almost called you after it happened.
Okay.
But I decided I'd tell it to you live on a podcast, because I think it was funny.
All right.
But at approximately, like, 1:02 today, I almost died.
Of what, exactly?
So I'm doing construction these days.
Yeah.
And my boss told me that he had gone to the breaker box and turned off all the breakers, so I was safe to work on electricity. Well, he had not, and just forgotten. And so I cut into a live wire with a razor blade.
Oh.
And what's funny about that is, like, 99 times out of 100, I just use a bare razor blade because I prefer the way that feels. And this time I used a... What are you doing over there?
Making no one would have noticed if you had just kept talking.
People would hear the refrigerator treats. Door.
This is, like, the third time that you've done this where I've snuck away in the middle of you talking to grab something as a treat for everyone.
People would be hearing me tell my story. They're enthralled by it. All of a sudden, a refrigerator door closes and they're like, what the fuck?
Well, now you've completely derailed it. We know the ending. Like, we know you live.
Good point. I won't go into unnecessary detail.
Wait, so you were cutting into it and you got shocked?
I cut into it. And 220 volts of electricity exploded in my face.
Whoa.
But none of it caught me. And I just said fuck about 20 times and then, like, danced around for a minute and realized I was alive.
That's horrifying.
It was a good time. I called everyone I love, except for the people who knew I would see tonight.
Okay.
I knew I'd see you, Chris, so good. I didn't call you. But
also,
yeah.
So you don't love me.
I love you a lot.
But you didn't call me.
I'm telling you now.
That's
your live reaction.
Okay.
I call Austin.
Wow. I've brought a Christmas treat for everyone.
Whoa! This brings us to our next segment.
Christmas treats.
Chris's Christmas treats, yes.
Christmas treats. Oh boy, eggnog will go great with the beer.
If you're a listener of the podcast, you realize I try and fail to bring drinks or snacks to the podcast each time.
I wish...
Mostly fail.
Listener, I wish you could see little Chris Morgan right now. He has got... A fistful of Captain Morgan, after his namesake.
Yep.
And then he has a fistful of holiday eggnog from Oak Farms.
So, we are going to be having eggnog.
We're going to celebrate Christmas the best way we know how. With ill-conceived race discussions.
I mean, we're from Texas.
Yeah, it is true.
That doesn't mean we're hateful people.
Shouldn't we have, like, ill-conceived abortion discussions?
We don't have Planned Parenthood anymore.
That's next
week. Did you guys ride your horses over here?
Yeah.
Next week is the ill-conceived... you were tilting. I was...
Oh, okay.
Did you guys hear...
That's what I was trying to...
In our next segment, today in the news, that, like, 5 years ago, we stopped putting tanks... We started removing tanks from the Russian border in Europe.
Okay.
And today we started putting them back.
Well, you know, it,
I don't know why. I mean, we're on good terms with them. They elected our president.
That's true.
Politics.
No, I don't.
Somewhere.
Yeah, you know, we're better.
So, who here has drank eggnog before?
I have,
right here.
I have.
Okay, I'm the only one who hasn't. Also,
wait, you've never had eggnog?
Nope. That needs to be stirred.
That looks absolutely disgusting.
No,
that
it's
horrible.
Eggnog is really thick and liquor
not...
is thin, so you have to really, yeah, you really gotta stir it.
Oh, this looks horrible.
Yeah, you gotta stir it, bud.
Also, I put way too much rum in there. It's supposed to be like one shot of rum for every quart.
Yeah,
isn't it bourbon, though?
It's rum or bourbon.
Okay. One of the things about eggnog with liquor in it is you want to go really easy because it's not a good mixer. If anything, it like brings out the flavor of liquor, so it kind of just tastes like you're drinking antifreeze.
It's just a waste of quality eggnog.
No such thing. Everything I've heard is eggnog's disgusting.
Eggnog's really good.
It tastes like vanilla milkshake. You just poured that on the table.
Oh.
You didn't hit his glass for a second. Give me more nog boy.
Anyone else want any more? I've got a little drip left.
Yeah. I'm not drinking this. I can stir it with a stir.
Holy moly.
Do you have a popsicle stick?
That's not bad.
All right. Let's get into the down and dirty of this podcast is really about.
They probably fast forward to this point.
The podcast is about making predictions of, based on the trailer for this movie, what we think is going to happen.
We're not done with our eggnog stuff.
We all have to taste it at the same time.
We already have it.
I'm gonna do
the... Son of a bitch, you guys already drank it. Yes.
It's our eggnog podcast.
Beer's already looks stirred.
So many great eggnog
jokes. I'm dreaming of a white man's burden.
Ah, much better when properly stirred.
Oh, that's not bad at all. All cheers. Right. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Chris's first
Merry
time.
Christmas. Crispy bacon miss. To not being dead miss. You know how much that would have sucked for my poor mom if I died on December 22nd?
Good
and my mom was solid. Able to like organize my funeral.
That'd be awful.
Yeah, it'd be funny too.
That'd be interesting.
I wouldn't have told her.
And my last podcast was Green Room where I got into a place.
You talked about dying.
I talked about dying a lot.
Wipe your mustache.
They can't see us.
I had to drag Tommy through that podcast.
Green Room really affected me in a way I wasn't ready for.
It's pretty funny.
Also, definitely the best movie we've seen on the podcast.
Well, yes, because we wanted to watch a good movie.
We've watched a good movie one other time.
Phantasm.
Yeah.
Watch with Alex Etzel. Pour one out for her.
I thought Love Potion Number 9 was...
Oh, Love Potion Number 9 was...
Oh, that was pretty good.
That was an actual... That was a good movie. It was just, again, like this one.
I like when when that prostitute got gang raped by 800 men.
She didn't. She had an army. Yes, she was God. Right. Did you forget that?
I just like to imagine cutting away from that scene where she's being chased by the entire town and then she gets captured.
Yeah, it just ends with her in the alleyway with her back against the fence.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, actually no ladies this time around.
All bros.
It's the boys. It's
the boy cast.
Ross, would you like to start us off with what you think is going to happen in this movie? Ross is going to make 3 predictions for which he can be awarded up to 15 points, 5 points per entry. He also has a wild card, but we'll go into that later. If this is your first episode, just go fuck yourself. And that's all I have to say.
Well said. Here is my 3. Number 1. Travolta does an elaborate handshake with another white man.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's really good.
Ooh. Mine are so I step too far?
So wait till we get to the rest.
Okay, number 2. There will be one rich white guy trying to help Travolta succeed.
Oh, no. Okay. I figured you were going to go like an Uncle Tom kind of thing.
Oh, where he loves.
Where he turns away, or he turns all the white people in.
Okay.
No, not at all. Number 3, every black male will speak eloquently, and every white male will speak less so.
That's a risky one, because it only takes one exception to that rule.
I'm okay with that.
Does eggnog kind of taste like bubblegum to anyone else?
Yeah,
just the texture, really.
Yeah, all right. Pop that shit open.
It's original spice. Do you want to add some more?
I'm okay. I'm
good. Let's shake shit up and go counterclockwise.
Ooh.
Wait. Clockwise.
Do it.
Okay. So me-wise.
Okay.
I want to go next, Tommy says.
Yes, you could have just said that.
My first prediction is that this movie will have a dinner party history lesson. I don't think you can just like flip race history without like wanting to go into the past. And so part of going into the past... is there's that one scene from the trailer where they're all at, like, dinner.
Yeah.
And one of them is going to be a history professor, and he's going to talk about how, like, in Africa, they invented all of modern technology, and then they began to go to Western Europe to enslave the white man, and now the white man never got over that. And it's going to be an uncomfortable scene, but it's going to give a historical context to...
Or in this movie, Hamilton beat Burr and took over the United States.
But he was... against slavery.
Yeah, I know.
My specific point...
Because he was against slavery.
Ah.
So that black people would have more power in the United States.
I don't think this is just going to be an alternate universe. I think that there's going to be a dinner party history lesson. That's the entire prediction.
Okay.
Dinner party history lesson. We'll be at a dinner party and someone will explain how this universe differs from ours. My second prediction. Oh, Jesus Christ. Someone will say the word, or John Travolta will say the word, malt liquor. I imagine, like, his wife say, all you do is drink malt liquor, or the factory owner will fire him for malt liquor.
You're going to have a lot of trouble when they only call it a 40.
Yeah, that's true. We'll give him partial.
Yeah, I give partial credit for 40. But as a prediction stands now, malt liquor will be said by or said in reference to John Travolta.
Okay.
My third prediction is very closely related to my first. I think this movie's going to have like some really like big balls. There's going to be a white Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, wow. Arlen looks upset.
But I have one very similar.
You're going to put one that?
Okay. Very similar.
Arlen put there's going to be a white Malcolm X in this movie.
No, but I don't think it'll like have a speaking role, but I think there'll be a picture of him. And like worst case scenario, I can imagine like John Travolta holding a photograph of like a white Martin Luther King Jr. He's like, Martin, what would you do right now?
He pulls it out of his wallet.
carries it with him
wherever he goes.
And I'm taking full credit if, like, he complains about not having Martin Luther King Jr. Day off or something like that. Because that acknowledges that in this universe, okay, there's white Martin Luther King Jr. Arlen, I'm calling for a special rule right now. If you and I have the same wild card, I think we both get a bonus point.
Okay. Okay. Sounds great.
Or negative.
We'll just...
Sure.
Yeah, sure. We'll start off with my regular guesses. My first one is fairly broad. It's the black people in the movie will have a racial slur that they use for white people.
It's a very broad, generic one.
The crazier it is, the higher the points I get. If it's just like cracker or something.
Well, cracker wouldn't make sense in this historical
That's
context.
True. But the movie might use it anyway since it's dumb.
Do you think they'll just use the N-word?
I don't know. We'll see.
Negro?
Again.
No, get that shit out of here.
We'll get that shit out of here, sir. Okay, and then my second guess is because for some reason this is like a shoot 'em up movie, apparently.
It's like Die Hard.
Right.
Yes, it is.
I predicted that there will only be one explosion in this movie.
Okay.
And then the third one is fairly broad. I kind of just wrote it last minute. And it's so broad, I'll try to specify it more now. And it's about uncomfortable reverse stereotypes. The examples I gave were example like fried chicken and grape soda.
Ooh.
So if there's like an uncomfortable stereotype involving like what they eat.
Like watermelon's too expensive for white people, so only black people can afford it.
Right. That'll be
Oh, so you don't mean applying a stereotype to white people in reverse. You're talking about a black stereotype is now viewed as high class.
No, it's the white people would have the...
The exact opposite of what
you... Yeah. That's a good guess, though.
Although I do like that as a prediction.
That is a good prediction. That's really interesting.
Oh, no, fried chicken is only for the highest class.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's going to be awful. I feel so uncomfortable.
I'm so excited for the wild card segment of this one. You guys aren't even ready.
It's already pretty much been said.
I saw yours, Ross. It's beautiful.
All right, Christopher.
John Travolta will tragically be killed by the police, but not while committing a crime. After the events of the movie have concluded, he will die after it's already been, like, or he's Same already day. Been, like, everything settled.
Okay.
He will die for something unrelated. A la Trayvon Martin. Rest in peace.
Or numerous other examples.
A lot of African-Americans in recent times.
A black woman will try to seduce John Travolta because he is ethnic, and that is going to lead to some complications, either the reason he's fired or something.
Yeah,
you put a hard R on that ethnic. Ethnic. Ooh.
Okay.
Makes my skin crawl. Because he's ethnic.
And your dinner scene, mm-hmm. I believe that the producers of this movie don't think that people will be able to understand it. So at the beginning of the movie, there will be text explaining in this world.
No, wait. It's the dude from fucking To Catch a Predator, and he walks out of the screen.
Chris Hansen.
It's Chris Hansen holding his hand, and he's like, in the film you're about to see, roles have been reversed.
Oh my.
Yeah, I believe there will be text at the beginning explaining that.
Race Wars, and then the title crew. Oh, all right, let's get down and dirty into these wild cards.
All right.
And for you listening at home, if you get your wild card correct, which has to be an extremely unlikely guess, and if your wild card is too likely, it will be banned by the rest of the group. But if it happens, you double your points.
Mine might be banned, then. Mine is, Travolta will be charged with murder and will shoot his way to innocence.
I mean, the trailer doesn't imply that at all.
It doesn't imply it. It doesn't imply he's charged with murder or...
Yeah, I would accept that because I don't even think he's being charged with anything.
Yeah.
Based on the trailer.
Yeah, I'm going to take that
I'm
one.
I'm going to let you have that one because that would be going with an entirely new plot from what the trailer implies. Arlen, I'm really, really hoping
okay,
we get the same wild card. Just like I think there could be a white Martin Luther King Jr., I think there could be a black Hitler.
Oh, no.
Like, someone's going to hold up a picture of, like, a black Adolf Hitler and be like, and is this what you really want to see in the world? Just because I was trying to think, what is the single most offensive thing this movie could do?
Okay.
And trying to, like, tell a story about how we're all the same underneath our skin, you show Hitler as a black man. That's the most offensive thing I can imagine.
Oh, I can imagine much more offensive things, but...
That's okay. Just because you're a terrible person.
Yeah.
So mine is in a similar vein to your third and, yes, and your multiplier. I predict there's going to be a black Lincoln... in this movie.
Ooh.
Oh! Damn, that's why you thought you were so close.
That was very close.
Abraham is a pretty black name.
Okay, my multiplier is actually very similar to my third guess, except I feel like it is much less likely, and I feel like this is going to be like a very special episode of a sitcom, and at the end of this movie, the actors will step out of character and explain the situation that they just went through.
That's it. I hope you win this one.
And how important of a subject that they just discussed.
If ever there was an episode where I wish everyone had a full 30 points, every single prediction came true. Because there's a very real risk that this is a boring movie. We're not.
Yes, there really is.
Oh, it's almost certainly going
to
be.
But White Man's Burden has been a white whale that I have wanted to watch for a long time. So even if it is trash, just the fact that I'm looking at a copy of it means...
In their world, it's a black whale.
That's as good a cut-off point.
That's good enough. Let's start this thing.
Let's dive right in on that.
Let's not.
Arlen, as you said.
Well.
Hold on. Would you guys just want to talk about other things?
Well, Ross and I had mentioned that we really did learn something about ourselves after watching this movie. Because our predictions, not to spoil them, were way off.
Okay, well, all of our predictions were thinking this movie would be a lot more extreme and offensive.
Also more action-oriented.
This was very...
more interesting.
Yes. This was a very boring movie where every single poor person in the entire world is white and every single rich person in the entire world is black.
Mm-hmm. And there are no other ethnicities.
Yes.
That's true.
It was directed by an Asian man.
Yeah.
Didn't see that one coming. We watched a featurette for all of 2 minutes and there's an Asian director.
Like,
oh,
what?
Who did you flip-flop with? What did we learn today? Before we get started, I would just like to at least disclaimer myself. What?
Who did you flip-flop with? Yeah.
The Asians and the Native Americans. They flopped.
That would make sense. The most populous with the least populous.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Anyways. Race is an illusion created by man. You can't tell what's going on inside a person's brain based off of their skin color. That's offensive and that's bullshit. This movie was about classism and asked the question, what if black people had the money and white people didn't have the money because money corrupts? And it was boring and there was a black superhero in it. And
what was his name? I don't remember.
His name was Chroma Man. Chroma Man. As in not Mono Chroma Man, but Chroma Man.
He was all the colors.
Yeah.
John Travolta had his hair dyed red and half of his scenes looked like a circus clown and talked like an offensive circus clown.
Well, see, here's the thing. John Travolta's performance was racist.
John Travolta's performance was blackface in the vocal form.
Yes.
I feel like John Travolta just is always playing a racist character. He just doesn't know it.
I'm trying to think, what's his dancing movie where he's a dance man?
Saturday Night Fever?
Saturday Night Fever.
Dancing Queen,
young and... Yeah, I have nothing to say about this movie.
It was...
It wasn't
what I hoped it was.
Does anyone want to recap the plot? You kind of did.
Yeah, sure. Let me recap the plot. So there is this really nice, hard-working black man with absolutely no faults whatsoever, and he works hard, and he's hired by his factory to deliver...
Wait, hold on.
You said black man.
You said black man.
Oh, well, he's a white man being played by a black man.
No, it's John Travolta.
The roles have been reversed, so it gets confusing.
He's a minority
race.
He
represents a black man.
Hold on.
He's a minority race.
But he's white.
Yes.
I'd be remiss if we didn't mention the opening credits, which were...
The opening credits were marshmallows being covered in chocolate. Because John Travolta works at a candy factory.
And he's ruled by the black ruling class.
Yes, and there was a Dalmatian, which seemed pretty poignant.
So
that's it, though, really.
No, the coolest thing this movie did, so credit where credit is due, I think that when John Travolta gets home from his long day at work and his son is watching TV, his son is flipping through the channels, and that is the most poignant moment of the entire movie.
That's the most creative thing.
It's genuinely smart, because it's the news, and the news is talking about how an unidentified white man, approximately age 30 to 35, was seen killing somebody.
Black news anchor.
Yeah. Black news anchor, and then he changed the channel, and it's smiling black kids, changed the channel, it's a smiling black family, changed the channel, it's a Civil War drama with exclusively black soldiers. And that was a cool moment. That was looking into an alternate universe moment. It was great. And
he never flipped a Soul Train, though.
No laughs. There is no laughter. You get no laughter.
Arlen's holding back.
No, I'm not.
What was the chocolate-covered pecans? What was it you were talking about earlier?
Nope.
You don't want to talk about that?
You had
no problem talking about that.
To say about
when
Brazil
there was
nuts?
No... Oh, yeah, Brazil nuts.
You thought they were going to make a joke about that?
I thought they were. They did not.
Why would they make a joke about Brazil nuts?
I'm confused. Why would they make a joke about Brazil nuts?
I don't know.
It doesn't
why
make
would
any
they?
Sense.
Did Brazil nuts have some sort of alternative nickname? A nickname?
Something we found out from you earlier.
That's true. We had no idea what it was.
Happy to communicate that to us.
I'm sorry that none of you knew this.
Like, oh, this is common, right? Everyone knows what this is.
It's common. It's a very common thing that old people used to refer to them
whenever
as.
Whenever your parents took you to those meetings,
slur.
Didn't you hear about this?
Google it. No, John, if you watch the trailer, you know the entire plot of the movie. John Travolta works hard at a factory for his baby and his child, and then John Travolta is hired to bring a package to his like big boss's house, and then he looks through the window at his boss's wife changing, and then his boss is like, oh, I'll just fire him, and then he like goes to like a thing and he can't get a job.
His boss made pretty clear, I didn't say to fire you.
Yeah, it's Harry Belafonte.
I told him to send a different delivery boy.
Poor Harry Belafonte, he gave his all. He really did give his all.
He did.
Anyways, John Travolta takes his boss hostage, and then the movie just kind of like wants to be cool for a while, and approximately nothing happens for 50 minutes. And then, I argue, this movie had the most pointless self-sacrifice in any movie ever.
I agree.
Because John Travolta has a gun, and Harry Belafonte's had a heart attack, and he wants to wait for the police so he can tell the police that he needs to go to the hospital.
And it's because ambulances won't come to this neighborhood, but the police will.
Mm-hmm. Your black voice.
That was my Travolta.
That's Travolta.
Oh, I guess that's fair. You're just doing an impression of Travolta.
Don't be racist.
What else is there to talk about in this movie? Chroma Man. But
Chroma
Man. We've really all talked of everything there is to say about Chroma Man.
Yeah, basically.
He apparently has like a white sidekick that the kid mentioned because the black guy mentioned that him and his dad are going to be friends.
In a very lighthearted scene.
Yeah.
Seth Green dies
in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Only two characters die. One's Seth Green.
One's John Travolta.
We're not joking either. IMDb confirmed. Seth Green plays Vagrant Number 3.
Thug at Hot Dog Stand Number 2.
He was the monochromer Number 2.
Surprisingly, in this movie, neo-Nazis still exist.
Yeah, actually, one of the things they did that was pretty clever is, broke down white trash, listen to punk rock.
Yeah.
So every time, like, you're in the ghetto and a car runs by, it's blasting punk rock. Jesus Christ, this movie was misguided. I had to say that.
This movie wasn't fun because it wasn't as
terrible. No, it wasn't ridiculous.
No,
it was going to be.
This movie has, it's one of those things where it rode the line, it was a bad thing. This movie would have been really interesting and like heartfelt if they'd gone more extreme with it and it made us feel guilty, because it kind of did that at times.
Yeah.
But it didn't do a great job.
Well, it's mostly Travolta because he just couldn't see himself.
For the first two, there were times, like especially very early on in the movie, where it hadn't lost its believability yet, and John Travolta just lost his job, and he gets beat up by cops because he looks like a suspect. I felt bad in that moment. I was feeling the movie and empathizing with it, and I was feeling the way the movie wanted me to feel. Then the movie would have been more fun if it had more of the Chroma Man stuff, which is balls deep in fucking insanity and misguided. But it wasn't misguided enough to be fun, and it wasn't heartfelt enough to be meaningful.
Right.
This movie, the trailers, and we watched some TV spots for it, it portrayed itself as an action movie.
Oh, most definitely.
Where the roles were reversed.
With more stereotypes.
It never happened. There were no action sequences in this entire movie.
There was a very lackluster chase scene.
Oh yeah, John Travolta was hurtling over.
Travolta was jousting.
God, that would have been
great. Got on a horse with a fucking lance.
He was he was hurtling over fences.
No, but in the 2 hour stretch of this movie where John Travolta has Harry Belafonte hostage and they just meander about meaninglessly, there is a sequence. Shit, I forgot what I was going to talk about. No, there's a sequence where they're having burgers. And Harry Belafonte is no longer...
Which part? They have burgers twice.
They have burgers twice in this movie.
Where they just get burgers.
But Harry Belafonte is untied, and he's sitting like 8 feet away from John Travolta. And John Travolta is like, well, you know my name, so I'm going to have to kill you. Do you want some water? So he goes and gets some water, and Harry Belafonte runs away. And then he's like, why'd you run away?
Well, that scene also seemed weird, because it seemed like he blamed Harry Belafonte, because he's like... See, when we first met, you didn't know my name, so it was okay. Now you know my name, so can't really end any other way. I'm gonna go get some more fries. You want something?
I hope Gypsy puts a curse on you, Chris, and you're only ever to speak in that voice for the rest of your life.
Is that what happened to John Travolta?
Yep.
No, but I had a little theory when I was watching this, especially when we were watching the featurette, and the featurette talked about how Pulp Fiction came out earlier in the year, and this came out later in the year. So my theory is that Lawrence Bender teaming up with John Travolta is what they tied this to.
Sure.
Is, you remember Pulp Fiction? Do you remember the greatest movie of all fucking time that came out this year and is blowing everyone's minds?
They also mentioned Reservoir Dogs.
Yes. Yeah. Lawrence Bender produced that too. Yeah. So you've got John Travolta and Lawrence Bender working together later in the very same year, and it looks like a gritty movie that's going to dissect society.
Well, it also looked like an action movie.
Mm. Cash. Guns.
Cash grab.
Yeah. I don't know who set out to make this movie. I don't know if it was a screenwriter who was like, please make this, or the director was like, oh, I want to dissect race relations. But
that is true. We didn't see the screenwriter in the featurette. We don't know.
I don't know if there was one.
Yeah.
It kind of just went all over the place.
It
was Travolta and Harry Belafonte just improvising.
It felt improvisational because in the most of this movie, approximately 2 hours of this movie, 10 minutes set up John Travolta's story.
Minutes.
It feels like 2 hours of this movie is John Travolta and Harry Belafonte just meandering about together, and at some scenes one understands the other and they're kind of friends, and there's even kind of like a little budding romance there. Am I wrong? There was some homoerotic.
They go to the bathroom together.
Well, that scene where they made out.
Yeah. Yeah, the really graphic sex scene. That scene where they reenacted the home break-in from Back to the Future 2.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They reenacted that shot for shot.
And the scene where they reenacted the first Back to the Future. John Travolta pulled the guy off Harry Belafonte. Get your hands up here.
Yeah. Maybe I don't remember that. I don't know.
It's like the pivotal
climax.
Oh, okay, yes. And I know that. There's the old homeless man who lives in an abandoned factory. So I guess he's not homeless. He lives somewhere.
He has a home.
But
he lived in the set from Half-Life 2.
Yeah,
the opening sequence of Half-Life 2, where you're in the rundown building and you run through holes in the walls and shit.
So that's
where
the guy lives. You've ever played Half-Life 2?
Yeah, that one's for you, not for me.
Only one of the most popular games ever.
I mean,
John Travolta has just been beaten by the police, and it's genuinely one of the only moments in the movie that I really felt. Like, that I empathized with the character at that moment. I was getting what it was trying to say. It was serving up a 12-course meal of dissecting race relations in the United States. I was like, okay, I'm in this. And John Travolta's bleeding, and he's wandering over to this homeless dude, and he grabs him on the shoulder, and is like, you know, the police, they just think we're ghosts.
Yeah, they don't like coming here at night, because we're all spooky. Ooh, boo.
Yeah, the sun sets, and all they see is a bunch of white ghosts. And I was like, okay, no, you've lost your credibility, movie. This is bullshit.
If the movie had carried on and gone more insane, it would have been much more interesting.
It's exactly what I said. It rode the line. That movie could have been more endearing and meaningful. It could have been more silly and ridiculous, but it was neither.
It feels like it was oddly edited too. Like, the relationship went up in like spikes a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, it's like there. It felt like it was put out of order, because there are scenes where they're bonding, and then there are scenes where, like, I'm your hostage, and I'm not gonna talk to you.
Yeah,
and there's a reason this movie's not like a cult classic or something like that. Like, this movie is forgettable.
I mean, I will never forget this movie because of what it is.
Because of what we hyped it up to.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm never going to regret watching this.
No, never.
Ever. This was hilarious.
And it was worth it for Chroma Man.
Yeah,
I will never forget Chroma Man. Because Superman in our universe is not white man. But in their universe,
Chroma Man is Chroma Man.
Chromatic Man.
Yeah, I'm always going to remember it just because of how much it was hyped and for what it is.
And the fact that you managed to find it. We didn't think we'd ever be able to find this movie, at least a legal copy. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else to say. We're like 5 minutes in.
It just wasn't like... Last week we had an interesting movie that was good and you could talk about. Weeks before, we've had terrible movies that were insane and you could talk about.
I feel you guys have covered
everything. I think we covered it.
There was that one scene where they're waiting for a phone call from the police. They're waiting to go to the dinner and they don't know that Harry Belafonte is missing yet.
Okay.
And so the mom is about to go out with her son, and her son brought home a white lady. And the white lady is doing her best to, like, wear black fashion.
That's kind of one of my guesses.
She disappeared. Yeah, she wasn't at the show.
They didn't do anything meaningful with it. It was just there for one scene. I mean, I guess...
Oh, they mentioned how all white families or all white kids don't have fathers.
Before Harry Belafonte is captured, he says a lot of racist things that a rich white man would say, except... It's in Bizarro World.
Right, that's a lot about eugenics and stuff.
So he like says like, oh, white people are genetically inferior, and that's supposed to be groundbreaking, but it's just not.
Yeah, he has a monologue where he's like, I'm not trying to be polite. God damn it.
Yeah, you keep doing that voice.
And then proceeds to talk about how white people are inferior.
So let's move on to one of my favorite segments for this show, which is, what would Love Potion number 9 do in this universe?
It would probably solve all of its problems if, like, one black person drank it and then one white person drank it. So bring all the races together.
Harry Belafonte would not have been able to resist the allure of John Travolta.
He already couldn't. There's a deleted scene where they fuck in that bathroom. That's way too weird.
That's why he was pulling his pants up.
You know what scene pissed me off? I almost said fucked me off. You know what scene pissed me off in this movie? There's a scene, everything is fucking contrived and relates to the plot, and all anyone talks about is race. But there's a scene when they're getting burgers for the 8th time, because it's all they do is they get burgers.
They love their burgers.
Harry Belafonte was kidnapped, was being held hostage over the course of 2 whole days.
Yes.
Nothing happened during that
time. Nothing happened. He had a heart attack, and then John Travolta sacrificed himself.
For no reason.
Needlessly sacrificed himself. But no, it pissed me off when they're at the diner... eating the outside diner eating French fries, and they put ketchup on their fries different ways. Oh. And John Travolta is like, I'm not gonna do a John Travolta voice, but John Travolta is like, man, you put ketchup on the side, I put ketchup on my fries. And Harry Belafonte smiles and he's like,
that's not what they talked about.
That's not what it was about. It was about salt.
Oh, they're talking about salt? Yes. I wasn't paying attention.
But the gist is correct.
Diesel impression, do it again.
You put your salt on the fries. I put my salt on the side. And they have this entire conversation about, man, we're different, but we both enjoy French fries. And it's trying to be the diner scene from Reservoir Dogs.
It wasn't
it's
even
trying
that.
To be
No, it was Harry Belafonte was like, learning something from Travolta, supposedly, where he's like, oh, if you put your salt in the ketchup, then you can control the amount of salt on your fry. All white people aren't stupid. That was what that scene was supposed to be, was Harry Belafonte learning something from white people.
The movie opened with marshmallows being covered in chocolate.
That's really all you need to know about this movie.
That's about it.
It's on the nose, but not interesting.
Would you guys be interested in funding a big budget 2016 released, I guess, well, it's almost over, a 2017 released Chroma Man reboot?
A Chroma Man movie?
A Chroma Man.
A movie set in the universe of this, not even in the universe, a movie that was made within the universe of this movie for this movie.
Oh, man. Oh, so like, it's a movie, that takes place in an alternate universe, but it was filmed to...
For an alternate universe.
It was filmed to... The production makes it look as if the movie was filmed in 1993.
So it's just really shitty production value, too. It's HBO-level production from 1993.
HBO did a great job. They made a play of their time. They're the Shakespeare of their time.
Yep.
All right, well, closing remarks. Let's just skip right over the...
Do you guys want to move on to predictions?
We can.
Does anyone have any points? I think Chris actually has some.
Let's go over them and we'll see if we can.
Ross, we open with you.
Take notes.
Oh man,
I feel bad about these.
Number one, Travolta does an elaborate handshake with another white man.
No,
these are amazing.
Not at all.
That would have required something interesting.
There will be one rich white guy trying to help Travolta succeed.
Nope.
Now, with that said,
a white guy helped Travolta.
Wait, a rich white? Oh, yeah.
No, the white guy didn't even try to help him. He was
adversarial.
He was forced to help him.
Yeah, he was another hostage, the old homeless
Maybe
man.
Maybe one point.
No. I'll give you...
I cannot accept it. Okay. I didn't say rich
You're
white
sitting at
guy.
Zero, then.
Number three... Every black male will speak eloquently, and every white male will speak less so.
Travolta didn't even stick on his accent.
Yeah, he didn't stay on it.
No, actually, I want to give full credit for that, because I'm looking back at the movie, and there was no exceptions.
No, the white guy at the burger stand that tried to run the kids off.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I would say
three or 4 points. There was the white police officer.
I say 3 points.
I would take three.
That's three. Fair.
That leaves you at a total of three before your wild card. Maybe that'll come true.
Maybe.
We don't know because, again, water has been spilled on it.
So there's that opening scene. There's the dinner party scene in the trailer, and I thought that was going to be a major scene like midway in the movie that would explain the history. So I said dinner party history lesson. Now that sounds like something I should get partial credit for, but in actuality, really nothing that I said would happen was not from the trailer. It did not develop anything from the trailer. So I think that's actually a zero point.
Historically, or they didn't go over anything historically.
Yeah, they did not go over the Civil Rights Act of 1964. They did not go over the Civil War.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the only thing that was historical in the entire movie
was that shot of the
reenactment.
Yeah, there's a Civil War reenactment.
Oh,
which is a history lesson. Can I get 1 point for that?
And Mary and Jesus in the background being black.
There is a black Mary.
We don't know
Jesus.
For sure.
But if we're going to be honest here,
I'll give you 1 point.
That was kind of a film flub, because Mary and Jesus, if they existed, were actually fucking black, America. They came from the Middle East and North Africa. They were fucking black. Sorry.
So you get 1 point for that.
Sorry. Okay.
There was a Madonna in the background.
Okay. What are the other ones?
Okay.
I see something about
malt
something
liquor.
Junior?
Nope. Malt liquor.
Malt
was
liquor
not
said or said in reference to John Travolta.
Like, I don't even remember him drinking.
Yeah, I don't think he ever did. I thought he did in the trailer though.
0 point. Yeah, I swear I saw one.
He was
the
a hardworking man who fell on hard times, guys.
Yeah. And then what's this prediction?
Keep him down.
I predicted that there would be a
something
white
Jr.?
Martin Luther King Jr., which I guess because I wanted it to happen. But that's a 0 points.
His son was named Martin.
I don't think I get partial credit for that. If I did, it would be like scientific.
Yeah, that's.
And I don't think he was a junior. I don't think.
No, it was.
What's the term I'm trying to
say? Yeah, it was Thad's son.
Scientific
theory.
You have a really small number, so you have to use scientific notation. There we go. I got there.
Yeah, scientific notation.
I got there.
No one was figuring out what you were trying to say.
I'm really glad they did not have a white Martin Luther King Jr.
I wish they had.
I'm glad that they did not put that in.
Really sad they did not. I wanted them to go insane with this.
Okay, so let's go through mine. First one was, there'd be a racial slur for white people? Nope.
Not
shut up, you dirty monochrome.
Second guess, there will be one explosion in the movie. Nope,
zero.
Unless we count a heart attack as an explosion of the heart.
Zero points, bud.
Okay.
Don't explode.
Mine was, last one, uncomfortable reverse stereotypes, parentheses, like, you know, what they eat and drink and stuff.
Yeah, but
I feel like
four.
Like,
do they have any, like, racist food?
Well, there was no food references in the entire movie.
The only thing I only feel like giving you two is because you were so broad with that, so I wanted to count the number that there were.
Oh, yeah.
And there was only, like, one, so...
But you... The son bringing
the son
white
bringing
girl.
The
that's,
white
that's
girl.
Why I want to say, like, the only... if you had said... been
let
more
me,
specific...
Let me, as judge and commissioner, uncomfortable reverse stereotypes...
And I just have a parenthesis.
But then you parentheses, but in English language, parentheses mean it doesn't have to be read. So what you're saying is uncomfortable reverse stereotypes, which is really broad.
It is really broad.
So I would say the more that it happened, the higher
that's
point
I agree.
You
if
get.
It was really bad, I would have
But, like,
points.
The police profiling, and then, like, the police profiling on the news.
I'm fine with two
but
points.
I don't feel like those were uncomfortable. I thought that those were poignant.
Let's go with three.
I'm giving you three.
What do you say?
I would say... two.
I feel comfortable with two. I think I can accept three.
Okay.
It wasn't... because the whole thing... the movie was not as uncomfortable as we thought it would be in terms of racism.
Yeah. It wasn't as... it was a... yeah. I wasn't...
I wanted to feel awkward watching this. We should, should have had a special black guest star.
You know... that's kind of using somebody.
Yes, it is.
It's a little
Chris
offensive.
Didn't learn anything from this movie.
No.
I learned
to be a fly
Chris,
on the wall.
Chris was very open when he was discussing Brazil nuts.
That is not true.
You said it, did you not?
Because I thought you guys would recognize what the racial
you
slur...
thought we would be as racist
as you.
Not racist.
All right, Chris, let's see if he can beat... doesn't... I think Ross is in the lead right now. Let's see if he can beat him.
Travolta will be tragically killed by the police while not committing a crime. He was committing a crime, but it was to save someone else's life.
3 points.
3 points?
I would do four.
He was doing a crime. He specifically
but
said
he was
not
committing the crime they thought he was committing. He wasn't actually breaking an injury.
All right, okay, then three. You talked yourself out of 4 points.
Fuck you, Arlen.
All right, number two.
Black woman will try to seduce Travolta.
Nope.
Nope.
Would have been really interesting, though.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
That would have been... interesting.
There will be text at the beginning explaining the plot.
Beep.
If there was, I don't remember it.
That's a good old solid zero.
Yeah, it was. It said white man's burden at the very beginning of the movie. I say text, 1 point.
Which is the title of a very
I told
racist
us,
book.
Yeah, no.
It's one of the
who decided
thought,
to title this movie what they titled it?
Hey,
who the fuck thought that was a good idea?
A movie came out this year called Rise of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation, yeah.
Yeah, but that's like taking it back.
That's what this movie was trying to do.
Okay, so it's kind of like the whole, like, black people can say the N-word because they're, like, they're owning it so they can take away the power that it has.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're going to call your movie White Man's Burden, so, like...
we can take away the power of the book.
I guess I can get behind that. I mean, I'm not... Multipliers... ooh.
Okay,
ooh.
Ross. Is yours right?
Travolta will be charged with murder and shoot his way to innocence.
No.
Not at all.
He is charged with a crime early in the film,
but
and he does shoot his way to saving people.
Multiplier is really all or nothing.
Yeah, so that's
yeah.
good old
it's
solid.
And not a.
Times one. My wild card was Black Hitler. There is no God. God does not like interesting movies. When the Asian director...
that is not true. There is a black God.
There is a black God.
Yeah,
or God doesn't have a race because, you know, human beings invented race and we're tragically flawed creatures. No, but I... if I had directed this movie, I would have gone balls deep and I would have had a black Hitler. But after carefully scrutinizing the background of every single scene, I can confirm no black Hitler appears in this film.
Yeah, I also look at the background very extensively for my wild card of Black Lincoln.
Dude, there's a scene where they're at the bank and they're asking for cash.
And they don't show
it. I swore you were going to get it. I swore that they were going to get a bunch of cash and there's going to be a Black Lincoln on the bill. And
nope.
I was going to be so happy for you.
Now, hold on. Were there any cars? Because a Lincoln is a type of car.
No,
Black Lincoln.
There were no Lincoln Town cars.
Okay, all right, that's enough for me.
Now, I feel like I got my multiplier.
Well, okay, we'll debate this.
No,
because we watched the featurette where the actors explained the movie.
That doesn't count. You don't get it at all.
What is your multiplier?
The actors will explain the movie. We watched the featurette.
Absolutely
the actors
not.
Explain the movie.
Oh, for one minute. This movie ends with Harry Belafonte trying to give John Travolta's wife something Lynch. Her name was something Lynch.
Kelly Lynch.
Who was she casted because of that? And we went into a discussion on that.
We'll never know.
What other segments? Fix-Sitter franchises!
Yes!
Gee, well, we've already dug ourselves in a hole here with the predictions.
I will go first, and I feel like I should fix this movie, and it will be super racist.
Oh, no.
This movie will be the most racist it can possibly be, and people will actually remember it for being the travesty that it should have been at the time.
Delve into this more. What do you want for your piece of shit
this
racist movie?
This movie should have been memorable. It should have had all of our predictions. We should have been rolling with the perfect 30, all of us.
I just really like the idea of like there being a Black guy at work who you don't know that well, and you just kind of like sneak up on him while he's washing dishes, and you're like, hey, do you want to be on a movie podcast? And then, like, the four of us show up. The four of us show up, and you're like, guys, all right, here's the thing. We're going to have a Black Christmas double feature, and we're going to watch Song of the South and White Man's Burden. And guess what? I got a Black to show up.
A Black
is showing up.
Don't give away our second episode.
And a Black guy is just going to show up, and he's going to be so uncomfortable, and you're just going to be like, reveling in it, like, yes!
I'm gonna be sitting right beside him, just staring at him the whole time.
Do you want some Brazil nuts?
Do you like this movie?
Piece of shit, Crispy Bacon.
Okay.
This movie should have been memorable. There was just nothing memorable.
Chroma Man is memorable.
There was nothing memorable about this movie. It should have taken everything to the extreme and been like, this is... shed light on the racial prejudices we have.
Now, we will all remember this because of how much we hyped it up.
Yes.
Yes. I think we're probably the only people...
But America forgot. Well,
yes.
I think HBO didn't block us from seeing this. HBO forgot.
Like, yeah.
Which is what leads me into why I want to franchise it. I want to keep this going. I want
make
to unite...
a new HBO series.
I want to unite everyone against how bad these movies will be. And shed light...
Oh, I was thinking this is going to be the new Westworld. Comes on right after Game of Thrones.
Oh, it's a series.
White Man's Burden.
Oh. I think I'm going to have to go... I mean, fixing it would be fun and all, but I'm going to go with franchise entirely so you could, like... Because whenever you have a sequel, you, like, play things up.
Mm-hmm.
And you could take this to some ridiculous places. I'm specifically thinking of, like, a Black George W. Bush. And, like, a Black Trump.
A black Kanye.
A white Obama.
George W. Bush, black people.
Yeah. Just, there's some really great moments in history. And honestly, like, when I imagine a sequel for this movie, I imagine the opening credits is just, like, really big moments in the last 16 years. Except just with... Oh, no! No! It'll be white people trading places with members of the Muslim community. That's exactly what it would be.
That's pretty good.
That's exactly what it would fucking be.
This should have been like a Prince and the Pauper kind of movie.
That was Trading Places, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They touched on that, but instead they decided to be boring.
Mm-hmm.
I would franchise it entirely because this movie was somewhat uncomfortable, and I felt like if you put this in like... the wrong hands, you could make a really uncomfortable movie. And at heart, I just want to watch the world burn.
I want to see Zack Snyder make this movie.
All right.
This summer.
What is subtlety?
I would go ahead and fix it. And the way I'd fix it is to never make it. Because it didn't need to be made. They didn't do much with it.
A gallon of gas and a lighter.
Yep.
An Asian man directed this. Who would have guessed that? Of all the predictions... Who would have predicted that they kissed, for one?
Didn't really.
He gave him mouth to mouth. John, if I had put the prediction they kiss, and then he did mouth to mouth, I would have taken full 5 points.
No, you bet your ass. If they had done a close up of it, I would have.
And you saw him
points.
Slip in a tongue. Yeah.
Then yes, I would give you 5 points. Or for what it was, no.
That's on the deleted scene.
I thought slipping in the tongue was an essential part of mouth to mouth resuscitation.
That's how you tell they're still over at their wake.
Yeah. All right.
What are the other segments, Chris? What are the other segments?
Don't we recommend the movie?
That's lame. No.
That's just the flop house.
I don't.
Yeah.
I do not recommend this movie.
I think we did that on one episode ever.
The one-liner.
Oh, the
tagline.
Tagline.
There we go.
The discontinued one that we don't use because we always forget about it.
We always forget about it.
Let's remember
usually
it.
Usually you remember it and it ends up in the final cut.
Yep. So, Ross or Arlen, who wants to go
first? I was going to say, this movie already had a memorable tagline, reality has changed sides.
Oh,
the only thing that separates them is money and power.
Yep.
I mean, that's the thesis statement of the movie, is that race doesn't exist, it's all about classism, which is actually a pretty decent argument if we're going to talk about American society. But back to being funny.
It didn't really delve into that, though.
It tried to. It failed.
You know, scrape the surface.
So
that's a great fucking tagline for this movie. Is kind of skims the surface of some big ideas, and I'm going with that as my official intro.
Okay.
I like we tried.
It's like a picture of the director shrugging.
Sorry.
I like Ebony and Ivory not in perfect harmony.
Oh man, I can't.
Yeah, you gotta top
I can't
that now.
Top that though. I mean, I like Frost's a lot because that's pretty much how I felt about the movie. Is an attempt was
best.
Made, but I guess "Don't judge us" would be really good tagline.
tagline: We don't know what we're doing.
Both for this movie and the podcast we just did.
Don't judge us. The description for this episode is just straight.
I'll go back and I will say I stand by everything I've said.
Okay.
Because I predicted that a movie would be offensive and some offensive things it would say, not my own true opinions.
That's true.
So you guys can wrestle with your own guilt. I stand by everything I've said.
Oh, we actually haven't declared a winner.
With Ross.
It was a tie. Let's do an arm wrestling.
No.
I don't think that's fair.
Well, we've had ties before.
For our viewers at home, Chris is
competitive.
World of Warcraft archetype would be, what are you? Are you an elf?
Ross is very, very big, and he would beat Chris.
Ross is a warlock, and Chris is more of a
gnome
troll.
Someone has never played World of Warcraft before.
Video games.
No idea what they're talking about. Ross is a warlock, which pretty much any race could have been, and doesn't matter how big they are.
Any race could have been.
Ross, put it in Westworld terms for me. I definitely watched that show.
No one here has watched Westworld besides me. Ross is the mountain from Game of Thrones.
Yes, that.
And I am
Littlefinger.
Littlefinger, yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
I mean, if you're not gonna say it, I could say it, Arlen.
Tyrion.
we can go there if we want to. In our family, I mean, while we're being as offensive as possible about race, why not just shit on a little person?
Let me hop down from my stool real quick before I try to storm off by waddling.
You guys very witty.
Yeah, do you guys, and conniving.
That's why I went with Littlefinger. He's little witty and conniving.
A tie.
I don't want to fight to the death.
No. We'll take a tie here.
Next episode.
I'll have Oprah and Pete my champion. She'll get shit on.
We'll end this podcast on unity by having them tie. Oh, yeah, we can do that too. Nothing. We learned nothing at all.
Yeah.
That we didn't know before.
I think we might have learned nothing today.
I learned, don't judge a movie by its title.
There you go.
Or by its fucking trailer.
Or by its trailer.
Also, just don't assume the worst in something.
Actually,
because we thought this movie was going to be very racist.
And fun. I'll tell you what I actually learned today, is you can take the most hot button issue when it's at its hottest, because we're like around this is being filmed during the OJ trial, and around the time of Rodney King, it is the 90s, the race issue is hot, and you can still make a boring movie.
Yeah.
That is astounding. So you can make a boring movie out of any topic, anytime, anywhere.
I agree.
Okay, well, let's end on something funny. Jesus Christ, guys. Make a funny.
Was that R2?
It's a silly noise.
Today's episode was edited by Christopher Morgan.
And produced by Tommy Davis.
We are not sponsored by any products mentioned in this episode. Any sponsorship plug was made entirely in a satirical matter.
We make a lot of jokes, but we as a podcast do not support racism, sexism, or prejudice in any form.
And any calls to violence or in support of violence were made entirely for comedic purposes.
If you'd like to contact the podcast, email us at bmoviedeathmatch@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on Twitter at bmoviedm, right?
Yes, that is B, the letter B, movie, go. And then the letters DM.
We'll see you next week.